A reading from the letter of Paul to Timothy. Beloved, Demas, enamored of the present world, deserted me and went to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Luke is the only one with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is helpful to me in the ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left with Carpus and Troas, the papyrus scrolls, and especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. You too be on guard against him, for he has strongly resisted our preaching. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. Timothy wiped his hands on the front of his robe and opened the scroll with the eager curiosity of a student receiving back a major paper. He speed-read through the entirety of Paul's letter, obviously anxious to see what was at the end. And I knew that later he'd go back and savor all the earlier paragraphs, but right now, he just needed to know how this all turned out. Gotcha. He mumbled all the way along as his eyes scanned downward, but as he got to the end, his face puckered. He sighed, and he sat down, and the fully unrolled scroll dangled from his lap onto the floor. Well, he finally said, at least he's still got Luke. What happened to all the others? Where is he at? What's going on? I exclaimed. It's the same old story. He managed to get himself arrested again, and he's burned almost all his bridges. Demas has left the picture. Crescens, Titus are gone. I can't tell whether they left on their own accord or whether Paul told them to go somewhere. Knowing Paul, probably to Hades, no one was at his first hearing. Now he wants me to come and bring Mark with me. Yeah, that's going to go well. Only a couple years ago, he was accusing Mark of abandoning him. Last time, Barnabas mentioned bringing Mark back on a mission. The old man got so bent out of shape that he ended up breaking off his friendship with Barnabas as well. But now he wants me and Mark to bring him his cloak and parchments, traveling from Ephesus to Rome because he needs a coat before winter. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's like a 30-hour drive, even in modern times, assuming you have a car and can go 60 miles an hour, I sympathized. Yeah, it would take me a lot longer than that, he sighed again. I could tell that part of him just wanted to take the scroll and toss it in the fire. You seem irritated, I said. Who wouldn't be, he countered. Paul can be so clueless. All the time he's getting into arguments with everyone who tries to work with him, and he's always sure that he's right. He's always sure that he is the victim in the situation, that the Lord is on his side. Well, when I was younger, it was easier to put up with. I looked up to him. He's a very charismatic person. My mom and grandma love him. But you have no idea how hard it is to travel with him. He has little patience for any view other than his own. But Luke is still with him? Luke is hanging in there, he confirmed. That's interesting, I commented. Luke's a saint, Timothy explained. He's better than me, Demas, Mark, Barnabas, and Alexander the coppersmith combined. What makes him different, I asked. Well, Luke is slow and steady, like an ox. Maybe it's his medical training or something. He knows how to stay calm when someone is injured in their body. What about if they're just injured in their heart, I asked. Same. He just listens, Timothy replied. Doesn't agree with you, disagree with you, just listens. He's patient. Even if you're saying the same thing for the 12th time in a row, he forgives you your quirks. He looks for the best in you, knows your intentions can still have been good, even when it all turns out wrong. He just loves you as you are. Timothy went on. You know, Luke is always remembering stories of Jesus that the rest of us barely recall, like the parable of the unlikely Samaritan who got out his first aid kit to go help the wounded man on the side of the road, or the parable of the father who forgave his bedraggled son who had done him so much harm. I think Luke just has a special heart for the wounded in any form they come. It sounds like Paul is a bit wounded right now, I remarked. Yeah, said Timothy, he's getting older. He feels all alone. He still has 100 ideas and trips in his head. He gets mad about this person blocking his way and that person telling him no. I think he feels like he's running out of time. But when Paul starts ranting and panicking, Luke doesn't get all triggered by Paul being Paul. Luke just remains Luke. All of us should be so lucky to have a friend like that, I said. Yet, what a challenge to be a friend like that, Timothy said. He stared off into space, and for a minute I did too, thinking of someone I love and admire, who I can also find maddening to the nth degree. Maybe you should tell Luke to write down his special stories so that we can keep them always before us when we're exasperated by those we work with and live with and travel with and love. I'll mention that when I see him next, Timothy nodded. Well, then when will that be? I asked. Well, I guess it depends when the next boat for Rome leaves. You'll excuse me. I guess I need to go track down Mark and find that accursed cloak. My mother will know where the parchments are. He sighed again, but stood, quickly rolling up Paul's letter. So I stood also. Courage, my soul, I saluted. And then we turned from each other and parted ways. Each of us had wounded old friends out there waiting to be loved again, exactly as they are.